present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who had transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am a ward of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Dear to him suffering, if anything suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If anything suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Trigger me?
Mm-hmm. Or so it seems.
Right. And working with it in terms of how can I stay centered mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. I'm triggered mm-hmm. by something or it brings up my conditioning.
So if I'm following, it's not that you're expecting yourself not to get triggered, but how can you kind of remain with yourself even as you get triggered by what things other folks are doing.
Right, mm-hmm. yes. And so I've been working with a particular child who gets triggered frequently mm-hmm. And feels criticized mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. So she's sort of scanning to see if everything's okay, and if she's okay. And,
so when you say a child, you mean a young part of yourself?
Okay. Right.
So there's a young part of yourself who gets triggered by, feels criticized, is kind of scanning, looking for that criticism.
Right. And then when it happens, she's embodying me, right? I become identified with her.
Uh-huh. That's the perspective. That's how you're seeing the world. It really feels real.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's not okay, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm.
You feel not okay.
Right. And then the judge comes in and mm-hmm. Judges her and everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Equal opportunity judge.
Yes. And so I've just been watching it, and the mentor, of course, is helpful to bring in mm-hmm. during that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's some fear. Mm-hmm. She's afraid of something, mm-hmm. I guess I'm being criticized. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed the fear of my own emotions or my own, mm-hmm. it feels like I'm gonna, so the fear I think is that I'm gonna abandon myself or mm-hmm. I'm gonna be abandoned, so that child is abandoned. Mm-hmm. I'm still looking at all of that, but it's just.
So there's something about the emotional piece of it that triggers fear, that you're afraid you're gonna abandon yourself as this thing is going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, mm-hmm. so I noticed it with all different sorts of people. Mm-hmm. So my son, mm-hmm. my partner, mm-hmm. angry people at work, mm-hmm. whoever it might be, mm-hmm. I find myself avoiding it, mm-hmm. first of all. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not conscious, when I can avoid it, I notice a big preparation for it or something. Mm-hmm. Like I got a phone call that someone was going to come see me on Friday, and I was mm-hmm. like, you know, okay, get all prepared. I got my office all feng shui'd and just trying to make the energy
Ring
better.
The barrels and get the garlic and the... And isn't it helpful in a way to realize that same thing's happening in all these different areas of your life?
It is.
Because without that knowledge, it can really feel like, no, it really is this circumstance that's mm-hmm. creating this mm-hmm. problem for me.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know that it's me that...
I'm the common denominator during all these situations.
That can do something about it, or make
yes.
a choice about it.
Yeah,
right.
And that's why it's the good news, you know? Because, of course, that insight can be taken over from a place of, oh, gosh, well, it's me. I'm the one who's making this problem. But, in fact, it's good news, because if it is something that's happening inside of me, then I actually have a shot at making a difference with that. Otherwise, what? I mean, I'm going to have to control my son, control my partner, control everyone at work, no way.
Control when I see them.
Control when I see them. Mm-hmm. Control how I feel about it. I mean, it's just, I'm sunk. But to have the project of, wow, huh, what is it? What is it that's going on inside of me that has this same reaction coming up in all these places?
Right. Right, and so I've been able to remain present in a few of these situations, mm-hmm. especially with my son. I kind of have to. It's not really a choice with mm-hmm. the situation that I'm in. So, mm-hmm. so I'm getting help from people in the medical industry, and mm-hmm. Mindfulness is becoming a psychiatric treatment at this point. So, the people that I'm working with, so mm-hmm. I'm learning techniques mm-hmm. to help me stay present with him, and he's learning techniques to help him stay present.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been able to do that, and it is really liberating to be able to do that.
Yes.
But they have this model where it says, like, if one person is triggered, if there's just one person in the situation that stays present, then the whole experience is transformed.
Yes.
So I don't actually, that's really good news too, because I don't have to change the other person.
That's
I only have to stay present.
That's right.
And then the whole experience
yes.
is changed.
In
the
that,
whole relationship yeah. and interaction.
Yes, everything is transformed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not, it's not required for them to change.
No.
In any way. Which,
and technically, it's not required for us to change in any way either, except that our relationship with what's going on shifts.
Yeah, exactly. So that the judge who's inside of me doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
You know,
or you don't believe the judge who's inside of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But also, that it's, there's a part of me who doesn't believe that.
Yes.
You know. Due to my conditioning, so
oh, I see.
You know, so I don't believe that. No, they really do need to change to make me better. You know, to make the
right.
situation better.
Of course.
But that's not true. Mm-hmm. So that was really eye opening for me mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, it's like get away from it. Mm-hmm. Versus, wait, I can be here
yeah.
and stay in the situation physically
yeah.
and still stay present.
Yeah.
Hence, I've seen other people modeling it,
mm-hmm.
and then I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been a real transforming experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And then it just becomes a project, a practice. So you have a sense of what
right,
you're going
exactly.
for. You have it. You can even feel it. It sounds like you know the experience because you've had it. You know what it feels like to stay there in the situation when that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to be with you, be with whoever else you're being with, external
yeah.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what you're going for. So then it just becomes practicing it, like practicing anything else, practicing your tennis swing.
Exactly.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
So when my partner says something that just gets right in there and
mm-hmm.
just triggers the heck out of me,
mm-hmm.
I can go, okay,
yep.
that, you know, who is that and
yep.
what's going on and,
yep.
you know, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and so...
Yep.
Or when someone at work. So it's all the different pieces of content
yeah.
that I can take that with
yeah.
and apply it. So.
Yeah. So when you said that, what I saw, it's kind of fun because the perspective can shift from, oh God, you know, I got to get ready and kind of steel myself, you know, hunker down to like, oh, okay, here's another chance to practice.
Right.
You know, can I stay present 3 more breaths than I did the last time or whatever?
That and what's in it for me.
Yeah.
Because I've received so much information through what would be labeled as a really horrible experience.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's that thing where everyone said it and I've experienced it a few times, but was this just created for me?
Exactly.
Like,
is someone paying my son to act that way so that I'll be able to see through and be free from this? Yeah.
Like books that have come to me and people who I've talked to. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like miracles.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Just what I needed, when I needed it. That piece of guidance came from wherever it
was. And then I had the thought, did I have to really go through this to get that? Did you just give me the book?
Right. Exactly. Can we just cut straight to it? Doesn't tend to work that way, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just brought up a lot for me. It brought up, be the change you want to see for the world. And how, how much time I spent just
trying to move the shells around.
Yeah, trying to get everything all lined up so that I was having a good experience. And it is. It's just like such an incredible relief to find out that, that this person is the person that I need to be with. And in any exchange, into, practice not taking things personally. And what a relief that is. It's a social relief.
Yes, to not take things personally.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just having had, one day recently, I had an experience, back-to-back experience of having a communication with someone who was very present and someone who wasn't so present.
Mm.
And just, it was like one of those things of life giving me exactly the guidance I needed at the moment.
Uh-huh. So you could see the contrast.
It was just like, wow. If I can be that for the world, for people, for this person, what a contribution. To just feel the difference energetically of what it's like to be at center in conversation. Versus being
not,
which
I know a lot about, which is helpful.
It is,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it's just like tennis. So if I'm going for being a really good tennis player because I love tennis and that's just what I want to do, then in a way I want to make all the mistakes that are possible to make, because in that I'm actually finding the place that is the shot that I want to take.
Exactly. I don't know that it could have been any differently. Different,
right.
It's just this, what this person, the steps this person needed to take.
Yeah, and why would we need it to be any different?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it not just like we were looking at a minute ago, just an exploration of, oh, whoops, not that. Oh, whoop, not that. Oh, there it is, there it is. That's what I'm going for.
An interesting exploration.
An interesting exploration.
Like, how very intriguing.
Yes.
And, something too I've noticed, that even when there's maybe difficult news delivered, or what feels like difficult news from this person, if in center, it's just, it's just clean, and there's just like not this residue hanging around when I get it identified and I'm taking it personally. And
I was going to say that's that not taking it personally.
Yeah.
Can you say a little more about kind of what you mean by that? So when you're not taking something personally, what does that look like?
Well, I find that I'm not walking away from the conversation, going over and over and over and over. What did that mean? And how could I have, that was wrong? How could I have done this differently?
That's a big piece of it, isn't it? It's the meaning that we make out of something.
The meaning.
So something happens, and then whatever it is, good or bad, it means something about me. That's the habit for most of us, is what does that mean about me?
Right.
And then, as you say, we're left with kind of this conversation about that.
Yeah.
And then as we go through the next however hours, weeks, months of our life, that's what we have.
Years.
Instead of actually here, living whatever is the next moment, we're in this conversation about, well, it wasn't fair. I can't believe it. Yeah. Why did I? Or I don't like that. Or oh, that was good. I did that well. Or
right.
Whatever it is.
Any of it. Mm-hmm. It's just such a good barometer, you know? I see that going on. I go, oops, I think I took that a little personally.
And in a funny way, that movement is the moving, not taking it personal anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And just working, it's been talked in group great lately about just coming back to the breath and counting the breaths.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just finding that so helpful to just come back to counting the breaths.
Yeah.
You know, because I could go with, oh, I'm taking that personally, and then flip into being the wrong person.
Exactly,
or,
because I did that. I'm not supposed to take it personally. And how long have I been practicing? And it's really why something like coming back to the breath is such an anchor of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, for most of us, maybe everyone, the draw to be in some form of a conversation in our mind is so big that to have some place to go to, just counting breath, to just simply assist ourselves in just being here.
Yeah.
Not needing to have a conversation about it, but just being here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it just chalk one up for practice because, you know, when I first heard that, go back to the breath, I got,
what's that?
It's like not working, I'm sorry. What breath, you know?
And no wonder, right?
Yeah.
Because I come back to the breath and immediately what I get is, that is not working. I don't know.
Yeah, and now genuinely I can feel the relief in this being to come back to that place.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, a breath.
Yeah.
You know, as genuinely as a refuge.
As a refuge.
Yeah.
So,
it's exciting.
It is.
I've been appreciating this conversation so far, too. So many relevant things. I love the part about what felt like you guys were talking about earlier was the part about taking responsibility.
Mm.
At least that's what I heard, was taking responsibility for my own experience.
Yeah. Not expecting that everyone else should treat me a certain way so that I can feel how I want to feel.
Well, yeah, because that certainly doesn't work.
Exactly. It would be one thing if it did work. Okay, then we could kind of see.
Yeah.
It,
but well, you know, it's funny. I don't. If it does happen that way, and everything is positioned inside of me not to be able to see it, then I still have the... It's almost like I have the experience that that I'm looking for, in a way. Like if you know, and I'll just say that I know that it's not me that's looking for it. You know, the way that so the voices or conditioning will scan for how things are somehow not working, or how they're not going to work. And coming up with their own conclusions based upon that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it means. I've just been seeing blanket statements of this is what it means because that happened.
Uh-huh.
And boy, that is so helpful to see. It's almost like I have this huge gratitude moment right now because it seems like everything that, I'll just use I in quotes, I normally get away with,
mm-hmm.
you know, like where I'm going along thinking, okay, well, I need to do this, so I'll just do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running up into, you know, walls that are like,
mm-hmm.
no,
mm-hmm.
We're not doing this. Mm-hmm. We're doing this, and then this, and then this. And it's almost like I get to watch how the old way that I operate or have always operated is not working. And there are two ways that I go with it. One is the unhelpful way,
mm-hmm.
you know, to listen to the voices of drawing conclusions about what this means,
mm-hmm.
and just resigning to the fact that this is the fate. Or what I really love so far is that it feels like these are all the ways in which conditioning does not work. Yeah. And so what I need to do is, in this choice place, is to pick, to learn from it, essentially, right. To see what it is that this wall is teaching me right. in this moment. You know, it's like the kid that won't do what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. Well, what's happened is that this kid has been, quote-unquote, triggering me. Mm-hmm. And I've responded in that same way over and over again mm-hmm. because that's just what you do. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that, no, that's mm-hmm. not what you have to do. Mm-hmm. That's just what I've been taught I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it means something that I need to respond like that to it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, it's like, oh my God, I see it so clearly. I can choose to fall for it as much as I choose to support myself in what it is that I need to do in order to be with that experience in a different way.
Okay, so can I see, make sure I'm tracking?
Yes, go okay.
for it. I'm going to use, for some reason, tennis is out today. So going back to that, if we use that analogy, mm-hmm. what it sounds like you're describing, if I'm tracking, is so you're going along basically being your own tennis coach. You've decided that you want to play tennis.
That's right.
And you know, you're just swinging, but you're looking at other people, and it seems like that's how they're doing it.
That's
and,
correct.
You know, you're kind of getting some shots, and sometimes the ball goes in, and like that.
Yeah.
And at some point, it occurs to you, you know, if I'm really going to do this, I might want to hire a coach. Mm-hmm. So you hire the coach, and the coach says, whoa, okay, we've got some work to do here. Uh-huh. That, you know, the way that forehand, the backhand, and you start doing that. And so, in a funny way, your world of tennis is closing in. You were talking about walls being
yeah.
put up in the mm-hmm. sense that, but closing in sort of in a helpful way.
Very
in the
helpful.
Sense that you're being steered actually towards what you want. And
that's
so
right.
it sounds like simultaneously there's a, wow, this is great because this is what I've always wanted. And there's a temptation on some level to want to resist that. But I was doing my own game and I want that kind of do it my way.
Yeah, it's really funny because I see how that temptation to want to go back, or I don't know if it's temptation, it's almost like a habit.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, it's like yeah. It's selective seeing almost.
It's like the minute the coach goes home, I go back to the...
It's like the wrist just goes back to the way that it always has, and it's like, wow, sometimes I keep making them and something.
But he's what's that word, like a judo tennis coach or something, so he's like sneaking up behind me. No, you're back here.
Tennis racket.
So he's watching you all the time.
Yeah.
So that you actually get to, even as you're the habit, you know, goes back and you don't even realize it,
yeah.
you're getting assistance with that. Nope, this
exactly.
is the way. This is the way.
Yeah, so the place that it feels like I'm in right now, and we're looking at it very closely, is I saw that I went back to the old way of doing it, mm-hmm. and the question now is, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I did that. Why did I do that?
So it's like the places in our lives where we've, you know, if you will, learn a lesson, mm-hmm. sort of, and yet we do it again.
Yes.
And what is that about? How do
exactly.
I have that information, and yet here I am doing this thing again.
Exactly. And so it's like this. I'm finally at the place where it's like, yeah, there's really no denying that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now the big question is, well, I don't even know if it's a question. Maybe that's just a little ploy to get me to wonder about. How is it that it's happening? Well,
mm-hmm.
I know that it, how it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
No, the wrist didn't just go like that. It's almost mm-hmm. like I know that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point, it's like, well, just saying no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
just
know,
making
just,
the choice you want to make.
Yeah. Actually, internalizing that support that has been given to me,
mm-hmm.
that my coach, my tennis coach,
mm-hmm.
my judo tennis coach, to do that same kind of movement, to say, what you want to do is play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what you need to do in order to play tennis.
Yeah.
And I don't care if there's no one else on the planet to play tennis with or to teach you how, this is what we're doing because this is what we love.
Yeah.
And there's no, I don't know how to say it, there's no wiggle room in that.
Yes.
It's almost like if I want to do this because I love to do this,
yeah.
then it'll be something that I'll be motivated to do. What happens with conditioning is, at least in my experience, it turns into a should, it turns it into a contest, it turns it into you're a good person or a bad person
mm-hmm.
if you do or don't do this.
Yeah.
And And so maybe that's what the resistance part about it, mm-hmm. it all mm-hmm. Is because if I'm in relationship to tennis in such that my well-being is dependent upon doing it well, yeah. being the right person as I'm doing it, then it won't work. I need yeah. to do it because I want to do it.
Yes. You want, what I'm hearing in that is you want to do it for this person, for
that's
yourself.
Right.
And that's why, to me, the work of going beyond self-hate is so important mm-hmm. to the work of awareness practice, because as we strip away the self-hate, we want to make the choices that work for this mm-hmm. person. That's what we actually want. We don't
yeah.
have to make ourselves. It's not because it's the right thing to do or we should do it.
That's right.
It's what we want to do.
That's what we want to do, and I'm motivated to do it because that's my work. That's my life work. Yeah. My life is tennis.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, Julie.
One area of my life that is problematic for me is disorganization.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking in particular of my house.
Mm.
I have lots of clutter in my house, and it causes me a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was thinking, I keep trying to get there, which is, uh-huh. I keep trying to get to the point where my house will be cleaned up. And
right.
First, as I thought about it, I was thinking to myself, then I'll be able to be present. I'll be able to be
yeah.
in the moment
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
But then I realized that I'm doing the same thing.
Yes. Well, that's a good catch, isn't it? That's pretty big to see. Yeah.
So that was a revelation for me.
Yeah.
And a little bit more generally than that, I have, ironically, I have many, many organization books. Mm-hmm. I also have many, many self-help books.
Yeah. Anyone else?
And reading the sandwich board in there this morning, it rang true to me the one reading that said you can read about riding a bicycle
yeah, yeah.
All you want, but you have to get on
the
bike and practice it.
Yeah.
That was an aha moment for me too about
yeah.
the. Sitting in meditation and practicing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what this week is, isn't it? I'm getting on the bike. I've read a lot about the bike, and now I'm going to get on it. And it takes a lot of courage to do it for a lot of us. And yet there's something so exciting and liberating about it, isn't it? About finally just getting on there and seeing how this thing works. Yeah. Thank you. Sharon.
First of all, I'd like to say it's hard for me to believe that I'm here. Last night it was just kind of surreal, and today even so. And I think about a little girl from Scotlandville, Louisiana, who's traveled across all these states to be here. And I've actually traveled abroad, but this is different.
Oh, very different. There are foreign countries, and then there's
this
the
is different.
It's more like a planet.
I don't quite get it, so
yeah.
it's scary for me to speak. But last night, looking into the eyes of others, I was so aware of how I've spent my life. I'm really full. I've spent my life running from me. Afraid to look into the eyes of others. Because of what I might see, be it positive or negative, particularly negative,
mm-hmm.
and so aware of looking into the eyes of others, needing, and I've hated that word, being needy.
Yeah.
Never thought it could be as simple even as looking into somebody's eyes, needing them to
mm-hmm.
fill in the blank. And,
mm-hmm.
And then walking the grounds this morning and looking at the beautiful exotic plants and exotic to me, and,
mm-hmm.
and feeling their beauty was a part of who I am, as well as
yeah.
feeling that neediness last night.
Yeah.
God, this is just so different. from the archives to the readings to being here. It's just amazing.
Mm.
know it's why I'm here. I lost my mom recently, and I just feel like this is a part of a gift from her. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. Just grateful.
Yeah. Thank you. That something suddenly called you to actually come, that you've participated, it sounds like, in many other ways. But something called you to actually be here and put yourself fully in the experience of what it sounds like on some level you've been running from for the whole life. And that there's a lot of gratitude for having been able to offer yourself that gift. Was there more?
Just been hungry all my life and ate my way to almost 300 pounds at one point, and I think I'm finding what I've been hungry for. It's wonderful and frightening, and that's all.
Boy, what an opportunity to stop and really thank the being, the whatever brought you here, huh? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, well, did I see your hands before? Did I make that up? I thought I saw someone's hands over here. No? Penny.
I had a neat experience last night of just the sort of the grace of presence.
That brings me right there, the grace of presence. It's a beautiful phrase.
I had agreed to go to an event, a fundraiser for something in the county, and on the way on the other side of the county. And it was one of those things that I sort of agreed to because I knew the person who was helping to organize it. It was, you know, sort of a, oh yeah, sure, I'll go. And it's the kind of thing I don't like to do. You know, it's a group of people I don't know. It's sort of mingling. It's a kind of situation which I don't experience myself generally as having a great deal of grace. You know, so I feel awkward. And and then shortly before going, I got an invitation to dinner from a friend whom I know well, and if somebody else is going to come, oh, it's such a temptation to say, oh, and it's closer and the weather's bad. And so went through that sort of dance for a while. And so finally, in conjunction with someone else, decided to do the fundraiser. So first of all, I felt good about that because that was the initial commitment.
Yeah.
I just felt good about keeping that.
Yeah.
And so we got to this event, and there were all these tables set up for dinner. And sort of mingled around, had some hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and then sat down and actually didn't know anyone. Most of the other tables were full, so sat down with this one other person and all alone at the table, you know. And I actually went to the restroom, and as I was in the restroom thinking, well, what am I going to do in this kind of situation, what came through was, just be present. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh. Somebody was like, all right, okay.
That's an option.
Yeah, and so I came back, and the rest of the evening was just fine. It was so interesting. I mean, I didn't care if anybody joined us.
Yeah.
And when people did, it was, you know, it was okay to talk. And, like, it was just sort of, all of a sudden, nothing was going on about, there was no story about me and what it meant and what I could do and what I couldn't do. And and it was just a very pleasant evening, and then it was over. Yeah, it was really a wow, because I don't usually have that experience in those kinds of situations.
Yeah, and isn't it such a pleasure to have an experience that's so different like that? Because, you know, the way you set it up was so perfect. I'm not a kind of person who, I don't know.
Right.
We have such clear ideas about who I am and who I'm not and how I am in a situation. And to suddenly surprise ourselves is just so wonderful.
Yeah, and to step out of our history, because my history is I am uncomfortable in those situations.
Yes.
And so to suddenly have the gift of being able to just step out of that history and just be present.
Yeah.
And just sort of see what happens.
Exactly, and realize the history is completely irrelevant.
It's irrelevant, that's right.
Starting right now, I might be a person who loves this.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know.
But we carry this, like we were back to the meaning conversation. We just put meaning on everything.
Yeah.
And so somehow the fact that up to today, since I've always had that my experience has been X, it's certainly going to be X again. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Yeah. And thinking about the conversation we're having, part of what I recognized was I was a relief to myself. Mm-hmm. And a relief, I'm sure, to everyone around me. Mm-hmm. Because I had no expectation that they were going to make me okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the pressure was off, all of us.
Really?
And I, of course, have no idea what their experience was, but yeah. I had a really pleasant experience chatting away with the people around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we can guess. Someone else referred to that term that Sherry sometimes talks about, but social relief.
Social relief, yeah.
To have someone you're engaging with who doesn't need anything from you, mm-hmm. in the sense of, I don't need you to make me okay.
Right.
So you get to be whoever you're being tonight. I mean, it's much like the privileged environment, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
You know, the privileged environment of the respect of letting each person have completely the experience they're having right now in this moment, which could be totally different than the next moment.
Right.
You know, so often, at least in my experience in the world, there's sort of this, you know, we're usually one way, and so if we're not that way, everyone kind of goes, well, what's up with you today? Why are you that? Which makes it even harder, doesn't it, to have whatever just spontaneous experience we're having, because everyone around us kind of reflects that normal who I am person.
Mm-hmm.
But in the privileged environment, which you created by being that social relief, being present, not having any expectations, we can each just have whatever experience we're having.
Yeah, that's right. And having no expectations for other people or myself.
Yes.
So everybody was allowed to be at ease in the situation.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice experience, and I, you know, chalk it up to practice. And the mentor.
Yeah,
who met me in the bathroom to be present.
Yeah. Life tapping you on the shoulder and saying, there is another option here. If you want to take it, you could be present.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know why tennis is up. Today is the finals of the French Open.
And you know what's really funny? In my family growing up, that's the only sport we ever watched on television. So no wonder.
And I like to watch it on TV. And sitting here in this group, I realized one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a fantastic projection exercise. you know, watching the top players compete.
Yeah.
And I'll catch myself thinking things like, oh, he just took that personally. And golly, he is really in the moment.
And you're kind of imagining what's going on for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I'll just have just a dynamite serve for two or three games, and then it leaves.
Yeah.
And what was that, and what does that mean?
Yeah.
And getting it that those guys cannot play that game at that level if what I'm projecting onto them is actually happening.
Yes.
And just, of course, I'm probably not the first person ever to notice these things, but it could just be such a metaphor for how to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the one thing that I do project that probably really is going on is they have to accept in every moment whatever is happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That resistance is the just
forget about it in the middle of a match. So there's the serve, and the serve is just boom, boom, on, and then suddenly it's not. If I get stuck on that, in the middle of the finals of the French Open, you know, that's going to be no good. So it's just and I wonder if it's, accepting could be a word for it. It's just the next thing. Have to be focused on now. Can't be focused on even the minute, the second before.
Yes.
Now. It's only now. It's this serve. It's this shot. It's this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I was people's calling acceptances, they have so much experience
yeah.
of being in a match
yeah.
and the energy changes.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way I look at it, because I play a sport
yeah.
and the energy simply changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's focus and there's direction and there's proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no apparent reason. It changes.
Yeah.
And it's like, duh, what am I doing?
And wait, what sport is this?
And there is no alternative to, I don't know what happened, and this is what I've got.
Yes.
This yeah. is where I am.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That is such a great metaphor. If we could take that attitude of mind with practice, because it really is, at least for me, that is so true. It just here. It's all, you know, for whatever, not taking things personally, right here, and then for whatever reason, it just, whoo. Fuzzy, what's going on here? And yet, if through that we can, it's like we started out with, if we can see it as practice, you know, so if I'm an athlete and that's happening, it's the Michael Jordan where he talks about he misses a shot and he says, well, I usually make that shot. So I practice to make the shot, but not from a, you know, what went wrong, oh my God, because that's all the conversation that just pulls me more into it, but just stay focused on the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the only route back to presence is acceptance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything particular is going to happen
yeah.
like I want it to.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it kind of just takes the suffering out of it,
right?
And the confusion and the
yeah,
meaning.
Yeah. And so often, I mean, it's one of those we can't do it for this reason. But so often, when we completely accept whatever it is, boom, it's transformed.
Yeah,
it's no longer holding itself in place. Yeah. Yeah.
While meditating, I'm attempting to just be there and focus on the meditation and focus on just being with myself, mm-hmm. not the thoughts, and the moment I get the thought, I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I want also in my life when to have, you know, just like a distinct time where I'm meditating, but also to have the distinct time because mm-hmm. you know, everything that I have to do does take time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want there to be that same level of focus
uh-huh.
I attempt.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now,
yeah.
I'm planning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a half an hour or an hour to plan.
Yep, to really do that.
Right.
Because mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of the time, like the things that are popping into my head while I'm meditating are like, don't forget
right.
to do this. Don't forget to
right.
you know, like,
right.
oh, when you're
planning
there, you got to do this
And
first.
Then when you're planning, the voice is saying, you know, we really should be meditating.
Sure about that, but yeah, some other things will
yeah.
come up, right? When you're thinking about some
yeah.
romantic thing or whatever.
Right, exactly.
So it just, in my life, I feel like I, in general, am attempting to have just more focus on whatever it is
yeah.
that I'm doing
yeah.
at that time, and that in and of itself, whether it be playing tennis
mm-hmm.
or dancing or whatever, like, I find that that's actually the tennis metaphor of being very present. Like
yeah.
you can't really play any sport or
no.
do anything
yeah.
without being fully present. And
yeah.
that's what the draw is, right?
Yeah.
Each
Especially
time.
In physical activity, isn't it? It really draws us to be here. Because
yeah.
the body is here. It's not in the past, it's
yeah.
not in the future, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Exactly. And if you're trying to plan your day, then you're gonna trip or something,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
I think that's why it's often easier to do a meditation during those activities
mm-hmm. yeah.
than to sit. Sitting is
mm-hmm.
the hardest
yeah.
for me, at least,
yeah.
You know, because it's just so easy for the other thoughts to pop in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm learning as meditating that it's really, the scheduling could be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Do it
mm-hmm.
like we have a schedule here
mm-hmm.
to actually
mm-hmm.
have a schedule in my day where I'm
yeah.
allowed
yeah.
during, you know, if I meditate from 8 to 8:30 then
mm-hmm.
between 8:30 and 9:30, I'm allowed to sit down and actually do all that planning and to-do list stuff, you know, to actually make time for that so that I can focus at other on other things when I need to.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of, it's becoming clearer and clearer that it would be very helpful for me to actually set aside time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, very freeing in a sense, too. Okay, so here are the things that either I need to do or I want to do to support myself and to make a time for each of them in the day. And each, with whatever you're doing, really fully do that thing. And in a sense, it would all be meditation, wouldn't it? I mean, so there's the formal meditation on the cushion, which is training for the rest of our lives. It really is training for exactly what you're talking about. To be able to focus here on this, whatever it is that's in front of me right now, just that, not everything else. And of course, all the thoughts come in to try to pull us, so when we're dancing, we're thinking about, or actually it's not a good example, because dancing is easier to be here, isn't it? But when we're planning, we're pulled off into, you know, what's going on with my partner. And when I'm with my partner, I'm off there planning. But if we could really, truly be with whatever we're doing in the moment, it would transform everything.
Yeah, I feel like if I have the time that I am really making to do my planning, then it will free up other times where, you know. But that's the scheduling is very important in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think a schedule is very, very supportive. Very supportive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The supportive is a good word for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am very grateful for the experience, and particularly Sangha. The readings and the books are very helpful. And little did I know when I picked up a little book in Asheville that I would be here 2 years later. It's almost like it.
You might have put it back down.
It has been life-changing and definitely for the better, and I'm very grateful for it. I'm very grateful for Sangha and the opportunity to participate and be with people who are going through this awareness and process and not feeling isolated. In going through this, one of the reasons I picked up the book was feeling isolated, alone, and depressed and suffering quite a bit, and not knowing how to get out of it. And so it has been very helpful, and this was also one of my goals when I started this, was to participate in Sangha and activities with Sangha, not only for myself but for others, because it's so helpful to just be there and listen and be present for other people, and be present for myself. So it has been a good experience, and sometimes it goes viral once the concepts are in your mind, you can't let it go. You're listening
it's
to conditioned
too late.
Mind.
You're
listening to conditioned mind, being aware, and saying, okay, where's my attention? Type of thing, and I enjoy it. And it has changed me a lot personally. I look at life differently, completely differently, and I'm very grateful for the experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, that's a great realization that your participation, which is the same for each of us, matters not only for you, but it matters for the Sangha. That we each show up to do our practice, and as we're doing that, we're assisting each other to do practice in general.
Yeah. There's so many things that are said that thinking, oh my gosh, that's happening to me too. And amazed at how I'm not isolated, that there are a lot of things I'm going through that everybody goes through. Are using practice in similar ways to kind of end suffering. So it's very helpful.
And that's such a way that we're kept in suffering, isn't it? Is to be kept isolated, to be told that you're the only one having this experience, or you should change, or if you were different, or if you were the right person, and to hear soul person after person after person after person talk about things that we can relate to really shows that as the lie that it is. It reveals that, no, in fact, we're all human, we're all working with the same things, and, you know, we all have that same goodness at our core that's being revealed as we let go of all this junk that's been put on top of that. Thank you.
Well, I had a couple of things in the last day or so that were revealed, and they really are quite in line with our conversation this morning. And one was waking up in the morning and hearing the litany of what's wrong start to go, you know, well, that's not...
No. It's like the alarm clock. Well, right. Here's what's wrong.
Here's what's wrong, right.
That's going to be bad. And that's I don't want to do that. And, that stinks. I mean, you know, remember yesterday when you...
Mm-hmm. And what just came to me as it started revving up was, well, you know, actually, every time I hear one of those would be a perfect opportunity to have that be a signal to come back to the breath. Just like having a twist tie on my finger, you know? Oh, something wrong. Ah, that means I should come back to the breath.
To turn it on its head.
Yeah.
It's meant to pull you into suffering.
Exactly.
But to turn it around and have it be a reason to come back to yourself, to come back to the breath.
So that was really a nice, and I've been doing that. So it's
excellent.
Really helpful. And then just this funny thing that also related to being in a group of people this weekend who I didn't know, and but it was interesting because I didn't know them personally, but I knew a lot of their names, so I already had stories about them.
You knew just enough to be dangerous.
You know, and it was, you know, they were, it was a perfectly wonderful event, and yet when I came home, I heard this voice say, well, yes, but, you know, I'm not really like those people. You know, they're... It didn't even quite have, it didn't even quite say what they're like, but it's like,
not like them.
I'm not like those people, you know. And then I just said, well, who says? I mean, you know, that seems to me like probably a story. You know, who knows what I'm like and what they're like?
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And are we like anything, or are we just whatever we are in this next moment?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also had a few weeks ago. I was looking at beliefs and assumptions and how they kind of interfere with things, and I saw this just amazing thing that I said, I realized that I have this norm for people. You know, this is how people should be, or this is what the ideal human being is like. And then I started...
And I've never met one. Right,
right, I was going to say, and then I started thinking about me and the people I know, and I thought, well, none of us are that way. You know, where I know people that are, like, not so good as that, and I know people that are better than that, and I'm sometimes one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, isn't it interesting that I have this, maintain this picture of kind of the way we ought to be, and yet I don't know anyone who is that way.
Because we never stop to question that.
Right.
It just, it's, oh, because so often it's in the background, isn't it?
Right.
It's never really said. I never really. It's just sort of, just there.
Right. It isn't even defined. I mean, if somebody would say, well, now, so tell me, what are those qualities of the way people ought to be? I probably couldn't even come up with the words. It's just like, well, there's just this sort of picture of the ideal person.
Yeah.
Of whom I've never met.
It's just like when you got home from the party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not like them. Well, how are they? Well, I don't know, but I'm not like them. It's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Well,
how should they be? Well, I don't know, but they're not in
their
mind.
That's right.
I mean, it's really the litany of what's wrong, right?
That's
what keeps us in the, there's just always something kind of wrong. I don't know what it is, but just trust me there.
It's just not the way it should be.
It's just not the way it should be.
Yeah.
So instead, we're choosing to be in the, every time I hear something like that, I just come back here to the present moment where everything is perfectly fine.
That's right. Right.
Well, first I want to say how grateful I am that retreat has come. Because for those of you, I was just looking at how I'm grateful to myself for having come and having stayed, because it is not, it wasn't for me an easy thing, it's a pretty scary thing.
Mm. Both of them, to come and to stay.
To come and to stay on that first retreat, and then on the next, you know, just on everything. Anyway, just grateful, because we do, I liked what you said earlier about how much we get as Sangha.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting to me what was said earlier about playing a sport, and then it just changes, but you don't really know why. That was so helpful. Because I hold a belief, a story that says if I'm present, I'm going to hit the ball.
correctly, the way I want to get it every time.
Uh-huh. And it is not my experience.
Yeah.
If I'm present, I get to be with myself when I don't hit it.
And if I'm
present, and when I hit it.
And I don't care. When yeah. I'm present, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. There's yeah. something, I don't know, I'll have to look at this one. I notice when I'm present, I can really, I see it when I hit it, so I can share my,
yeah.
did it.
Yeah.
And I'm present when I don't, and so I can stay with both. Mm-hmm. But I want to report in, I did this thing with my family. Mm-hmm. Here's what it was, but here's what I saw. So on Thursday night, I was telling a story about how I perceive I am with my family, mm-hmm. that I really believed as I was telling it. Mm-hmm. So I did the recording practice, which I don't know if everyone knows about, but essentially what I did is it was suggested that I record how I like to be, mm-hmm. and I listened to it on a little recorder.
So there you are with your family, and you have this, it's sort of like the shot, how I'd like to
yes.
get the shot. So
yes, exactly.
How I'd love to be with my family
yeah.
is whatever. I'd love
right.
to unconditionally love them and
right.
accept
yes.
them and support them.
Yeah.
And
well, how it was I'd like to be fun and funny,
fun,
lighthearted,
right.
cheerful,
uh-huh.
Present, And it is like the tennis, because it's kind of like, here's how I'd like to hold my racket.
Yes.
But it feels kind of awkward, because,
yes.
you know, I was a tennis player,
uh-huh.
and when I was learning to play, it was very awkward for a while holding it the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't really hit it very strongly,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't really,
mm-hmm.
and it sort of feels, it's that same sense.
Yeah,
of,
that's good.
But, you know, the truth is, I'm really controlling and anxious and blah, blah, blah.
What often happens is...
But often happens, right. But what I did was, so I listened to that thing, and I'm recording it, as I'm recording, I'm like, it switched. It's like, wait a minute. When I'm not believing I'm not, I am. So I start recording, and you know, I'm really fun and funny and bold. So
uh-huh.
And then I thought, I'm going to do a test with my family. So I did. I go up, and I'm like, I gave him a multiple choice. I don't want to make it too hard. So I said, when I go to parties or activities and we're all there, so here's the family structure, 4, 8, 12, 44, and 47. So
those are the ages.
Right. So I say to my family, I said, would you say I'm A, funny, B, slightly anxious, C, controlling, D, all of the above. And it was fascinating because I really believed that I was really, really controlling, and none of them chose that.
Uh-huh.
They all chose B, A and B. You know, and it's true. I know I'm slightly anxious. I mean, and they know that too. And they said, I'm funny. And I said, not controlling? You know, I was totally baffled. They said, no. And they started telling me his parents are a little strange. My next, and I have been listening. It's so disorienting because the story, and what I saw that kind of goes along, I think, with what folks are getting to do this week is that when I came on my first CINW retreat, I didn't like the word self hatred for sure. I think it was called going beyond self hatred. Didn't like that word, and I didn't think I knew I felt that a lot of the time and was trapped, but I wasn't really aware what was self-hate and what wasn't.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wouldn't uh-huh. have been aware that a story telling me I'm a particular kind of mom
uh-huh.
was self-hatred. I would have uh-huh. thought it was just helpful and true.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I really am controlling.
And I'm just resigned to it.
And I need to change. Or
yeah.
yeah, I'm either resigned to it or in other moments I really need to change.
Or I need to change, yes. Well, I think when I first came it was kind of resigned. You
uh-huh.
know, this is how I am. I
yeah.
might be able to be kind of fun and funny sometimes, but
right.
underneath it all, the real...
Right.
Is the controlling.
Yeah.
What I was seeing with the, you know, the stuff people are going to be doing this week as well as this new recording stuff is that, wait a minute, the truth is there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the truth. That's
yeah.
my starting point.
Yeah.
Not there's something wrong with me.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And if that's the starting point, then, how do all these other pieces fit in
yeah.
with that?
You
yeah.
just get curious, kind of like,
yeah.
oh, wow, it just came in. I was just hitting that ball just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not personal. It's
no.
just, you know, like we say all the time, like the weather,
yep.
not really sure how come.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even a bad thing.
Yes.
Maybe I can just get to know it and stay present with it and be really kind to myself and gentle.
Yes.
And make sure I'm eating and warm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
paying as good attention as I can. And,
yeah. Yeah. So that when I find myself in a situation where I'm not being the mom that I wish, that I would love to be, it's not about, okay, what did I do wrong and how did that happen?
Yeah.
And it's, okay, so there's nothing wrong with me and this is happening, huh? Right. Let's see. What's, and as I'm doing that, as you're doing that process, there's a sense, it sounds like, of the only way you're going to really be able to sort of do that, navigate that, is to be very, very kind and gentle with yourself as you're doing it.
Yes, because for me, when I know this, and I still notice it today when I'm in one of those really stuck places, is even when I move to kind and gentle, if I've done something super, super unfortunate, there's the, this is gets so loud.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Kind and gentle. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is a time for severe backlash, yeah. A time for a severe reprimand.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of courage in that moment to continue the practice of kindness and gentleness.
Because I've practiced a lot with reprimand. You know, that's how I got here, right?
Right.
You know, we get here because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, we've suffered enough.
Yeah.
We want to try something new.
Yes.
So to say to that, you know what, I've tried that and it doesn't work.
Like it, yes, exactly. It's like we were looking at earlier. If it were going to work, well,
yeah.
That would be one thing. But we proved to ourselves over time that, in fact, that doesn't work.
No.
If beating ourselves into, you know, being how we want to be, we're going to work, it would work by now.
And then we get to model for the people around us. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, they say, Sherry says, be who you want your children to be.
Mm-hmm.
So my greatest hope is, okay, well, I've done something super...
Yep. Exactly.
Unfortunate.
Exactly.
Can I... You know that old Zen story of put down the girl. You know, the two monks walking along, they succumb to a mud puddle, there's a beautiful woman, one of the monks, the older monk, I think, picks her up, carries her across the mud puddle, puts her down. The younger one is just... They're walking along, and he's like...
He can't believe that the older monk would have done something so scandalous as pick this woman up and put her... Yeah.
Yeah.
And they walk along for quite a time. And then finally the young monk says to the older monk, I can't believe you did that. And he says to the younger monk, oh, I put her down back there. Are you still carrying her?
And it's how kids do it.
Of course.
I mean, we had an interaction last night that I didn't do this time. The older person in the family, the spouse did. And I just see them, I'm like, oh my gosh, how can they let go of this? Let me just do to him what conditioning wants to do to me all the time.
Yeah.
But no, if I practice one moment at a time.
Yeah. Because as you say, you know, when they're grown up and they're off in their own lives, would you want them doing that, having that experience, being beaten by this internal judge, we were looking at the judge earlier, because they did something unfortunate that they didn't even want to do to begin with?
Right.
Would you want them doing that? Of course not. So I want to model for them not doing that.
And would I want, when I do something unfortunate, even right now, for my husband?
Yes. Right.
No, I would want him to be greatly compassionate and quiet so that I can do my work to get back.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Just be able to go, whoops, I usually make that shot.
Right, yes, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.